Anything else we should touch on real quick, Bill?
Is there services?
Yes, so Saturday we will have services here at 2, just regular time and place.
Did you need to tell who's going to go today?
Yeah, I already did. I'm set. You're not going to go. Okay, I'll try to do more math in my head.
No, that's
going to
be a lot.
Yeah.
Well,
all right. It's difficult doing a split message on a holy day because you have no clue what the other person might say. And actually, John, I think we got some things that tie in pretty nice together. Just so that we get the basics, let's go back to Leviticus 23, in verse 26. Forrest, did you hit record? Thanks. Leviticus 23 and verse 26, the Lord spoke unto Moses, saying, Now the tenth day of the seventh month is the day of atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you, and you shall deny yourselves and present the Lord's offering by fire. You shall do no work during that entire day, for it is the day of atonement, and to make atonement on your behalf before the Lord your God. For anyone who does not practice self-denial during that entire day shall be cut off from the people. And anyone who does any work during that entire day, such a one I will destroy from the midst of the people. You shall do no work. It is a statute forever throughout your generations in all of your settlements. It shall be to you a Sabbath of complete rest, and you shall deny yourselves on the ninth day of the month at evening, and from evening to evening you shall keep your Sabbath. So today is a day of reconciliation to our Father. Reconciliation, that's the restoration back to a previous state, the intended state, back to what God intended at creation. Verse 29, he says, we're to practice self-denial. We're fasting today. We're denying ourselves food and water. Two of the three things that we must have to live. It's a little bit more difficult to take away the air. Deny ourselves that. But in verse 31, he says, it's a statute forever throughout your generations. And I know some raise the question, if Christ has already shed his blood for our sins, why do we still need to do this every year? Why can't we just move on? Along with that, there is a fallacy, a worldly view of sin and the law, God's law. And that fallacy is that the breaking of God's law requires retribution to keep the law intact. No. We don't get to destroy anything that God created, including his law. So then what happened? If the law is broken, what happened? Because all of God's creation, including himself and his law, they were and still are perfect. Our sin does not require the law to be repaired or justified. Sin does not change the perfection of the law or God. It changes us. We are what needs to be repaired. And God loves us so much, all of his creation so much, that he's not out to destroy it, his creation, us, but rather, he's out to restore it, to repair it. The only destruction that he's going to send out is to anything that wants to destroy his creation. So today is a reminder that we're human and that we are in need of something. We've been given a gift, salvation through Christ. We've been given the ability to have oneness with our Father and our Savior. So let's go over to 1 Corinthians 1:26. Paul says, "Consider your own call, brothers and sisters. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish of the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Jesus Christ, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, in order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord." So here in verse 30, we see that God is the source of our life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Our mechanic. He's repairing us. And why do we do this every year? That we remember that we need to be repaired still, because we're still flying. Yesterday, last week, last month, each of us did something that required the repair. And yes, our sins are forgiven, but we're still in a process of repair. It's ongoing, and that restoration of all of us and all things will not be complete until the day of judgment. We need this yearly reminder because, sadly, we are easily distracted into forgetfulness. Deuteronomy 8. Starting in verse 11, Deuteronomy 8:11, "Take care that you do not forget the Lord your God by failing to keep his commandments, his ordinances, his statutes, which I am commanding you today. When you have eaten your fill and have built fine houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks have multiplied and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied, then do not exalt yourself, forgetting the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness, an arid wasteland with poisonous snakes and scorpions. He made water flow for you from flint rock and fed you in the wilderness with manna that your ancestors did not know, to humble you and to test you, and in the end to do you good. Do not say to yourself, 'My power and the might of my own hand have gotten me this wreath or this wealth.' But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, so that he may confirm his covenant that he swore to our ancestors, as he is doing today." Verse 19. "If you do forget the Lord your God, and you follow other gods to serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Like the nations that the Lord is destroying before you, so shall you perish because you would not obey the voice of the Lord your God." Let's read just a little bit more. Let's jump back to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 10. When the Lord your God has brought you into the land that he swore to your ancestors, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give you a land of fine, large cities that you did not build, houses filled with all sorts of good that you did not fill, hewn wells that you did not dig, vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, and when you have eaten your fill, take care that you do not forget the Lord, who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. How often do we stop and consider that despite all that's going on right now, all around us, that we still live in the land of plenty? Who determined that we would be birthed by parents that would allow us to live in this land, where all we need to do is be willing to put forth effort simply to gather? Because it's all right here. Everything we want and need is all right here. All we have to do is go gather it. All we have to do is go gather the paycheck, go gather the groceries, and enjoy our couch. But do we forget who made the gathering possible? Let's continue in verse 13. The Lord your God you shall fear, him you shall serve, and by his name alone you shall swear. And here's where we forget, or we allow our forgetfulness to come in. The Lord your God you shall fear. What else have you been fearing lately? Because it's only supposed to be him that we fear. Him alone shall you serve. What else do we allow in our life to take priority? And how often? It says, by his name alone you shall swear. How often do we make agreements outside of his will? Verse 14 says, do not follow other gods, any of the gods of the people who are around you, because the Lord your God who is present with you is a jealous God. The anger of the Lord your God would be kindled against you, and he would destroy you from the face of the earth. Do not put the Lord your God to the test as he tested him at Massah. You must diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his decrees and his statutes that he has commanded to you. Diligently. That means to guard, to keep. Don't turn your back on it. Protect it. Verse 18. Do what is right and good in the sight of the Lord so that it may go well with you, and so that you may go in and occupy the good land that the Lord swore to your ancestors to give you, thrusting out all of your enemies from before you, as the Lord has promised. So who are our enemies right now? Don't say them out loud. Not even the initials. Who are your enemies? Do we want them thrust out before us? Are we allowing the only entity that has the ability to thrust out those enemies? Are we allowing him to do that? We need to stop making sporadic decisions without God's consent in hopes that the action will somehow protect ourselves from the enemies that we perceive. And right now, there's a lot of people making sporadic decisions. Some out of fear, some out of frustration, some out of lack of faith. And I really liked what John had to say. He brought up the scriptures where we need to encourage each other right now. a lot of encouragement, a lot of love. Because this affects all of us, not some of us, all of us, because we're still human. Verse 20, when your children ask you in the time to come, what is the meaning of the decrees and the statutes and the ordinances that the Lord our God has commanded you? Then you shall say to your children, we are Pharaoh's slaves in Egypt, but the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. The Lord displayed before our eyes great and awesome signs and wonders against Egypt, against Pharaoh and all of his household. He brought us out from there in order to bring us in, to give us the land that he promised an oath to our ancestors. He says there that not only are we to remember what God has done for us, but to teach it perpetually. That we don't forget. That our children, our grandchildren don't forget. What are we teaching? That God did miracles. That God does miracles. In each one of our families, we have the ability to testify to each other what God has done to us personally, but also for our family internally. All of us have experienced his miracles. But we need to perpetually teach each other that those miracles are still happening and will continue to happen. In verse 24, then the Lord God commanded us to observe all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our lasting good, so as to keep us alive, as is now the case. If we diligently observe the entire commandment before the Lord our God, as he commanded us, we will be in the right. We will be in the right. It will be our righteousness, our oneness with God. Right now, some of us are experiencing some hunger, probably some thirst. But the reminder isn't about food or the lack of food. Rather, who supplies our food, our needs. The reality is, we're simply between meals. We just talked about a meal here in another couple hours. We're also between miracles. The process isn't over with. The miracle of birth. The miracle of rebirth. And the greater miracle of eternal life. We're in the midst. We need to remember that we're constantly between miracles, just like we're between meals right now. We don't need our own next solution. We need God's next miracle. We need him to thrust out our enemies. Let's go over to Isaiah 59. Isaiah 59, we'll start right at 1. See, the Lord's hand is not too short to save, nor his ear too dull to hear. Rather, your iniquities have been barriers between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. But he was wounded for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities, and upon him was the punishment that made us whole, and by his bruises we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of all of us. That was Isaiah 53. Oh, I'm sorry. I jumped. So Isaiah 59, 1 and 2, and then I jumped to Isaiah 53, 5 and 6. Let's go back to Titus 3. Titus 3 and verse 3. For we ourselves were once foolish, disobedient, led astray, slaves to various passions and pleasures, passing our days in malice and envy and despicable, hating one another. But when the goodness and loving kindness of our God and Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to his mercy through the water of rebirth and a renewal of Holy Spirit. This Spirit he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. We've all been given this great gift of mercy, of opportunity for restoration. How often do we acknowledge that and pay honor to the one who is merciful and in the process of restoring us? It needs to be daily, hourly, minute by minute. Luke 17. Luke 17 and verse 11. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee, and he entered a village, and 10 lepers approached him, keeping their distance. And they called out, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go, show yourselves to the priest. And as they went, they were made clean. So he gave a command. They obeyed the command, and they were restored. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except to this foreigner? Then he said to him, get up, go your way. Your faith has made you well. I think in some version it says, your faith has made you whole. Complete. So how often are we one of the 9? As soon as we're comfortable, we go off looking for more through our own chosen sources and forget who supplied us in the first place. We're all going to eat again, but will it be God's perfect blessing of provision and protection? Or will we turn our back to him and go off wandering towards whatever our flesh leads us to? And that will be destruction. Hebrews 10, verse 19, we'll finish up. Hebrews 10, 19. Therefore, my friends, since we have confidence to enter the sanctuary by the blood of Christ, by the new and living way that he opened up for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us approach with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how to provoke one another to love and good deeds, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. For if we willfully persist in sin after having received the knowledge of truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a fearful prospect of judgment and a fury of the fire that will consume the adversaries. Anyone who has violated the law of Moses dies without mercy on the testimony of 2 or 3 witnesses. How much more or how much worse the punishment do you think will be deserved by those who have spurned the Son of God, profaned the blood of the covenant by which they were sanctified, and outraged the Spirit of grace? For we know the one who said, vengeance is mine, I will repay, and again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. But recall those earlier days when, after you had been enlightened, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to abuse and persecution, and sometimes being partners with those who so treated. For you had compassion for those who were in prison, and you cheerfully accepted the plundering of your own possessions, knowing that yourselves possessed something better and more lasting. Do not therefore abandon that confidence of yours. It brings a great reward. For you need endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet, in a very little while, the one who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous one will live by faith. My soul takes no pleasure in anyone who shrinks back. But we are not among those who shrink back and so are lost, but among those who have faith and are so saved.